Hello, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Locked On Phillies podcast. Today is Tuesday, December 1st, 2020. My name is Dan Wilson, and we have made it to December. First of all, I want to say thank you to all of the listeners out there, anyone who has tuned into any of my podcasts that I've recorded over the past month plus. Started this in late October, have made it to the end of November, and now we flip the calendar to December, the official holiday season. Hope everyone had a happy and safe Thanksgiving. But now we get into the real meat of the MLB offseason, or at least the normal offseason it would be. This is where the hot stove starts to heat up. It's the holiday season. Winter meetings are just around the corner. And for the Philadelphia Phillies, things don't necessarily seem to be heating up. Wanted to address some news that came out last week regarding John Middleton, who everyone knows is I'm a fan favorite of, the Phillies owner. That's completely sarcastic. Can't stand the guy. John Middleton, on Thanksgiving Eve, the day before, on Wednesday, it becomes public that the Philadelphia Phillies are laying off 80 employees. And the man who is worth $3.4 billion is being negatively affected by the pandemic, and therefore they need to change some things around when it comes to finances. Now, I'm not here to second guess anyone's money. I'm not here to sit here and count how much not having fans in the stands or losing 102 games or the pandemic in general, perhaps decreasing interest in Major League Baseball or any of those factors that I know are very, very real things affected Major League Baseball, the Philadelphia Phillies, or specifically John Middleton. But I do know the guy, at least publicly, has lots of money. I know that he's the owner of a Major League Baseball team, and that in the grand scope of the world, society, America, the billionaires who run professional sports teams and who run Major League Baseball teams aren't exactly getting my top line of sympathy. And they're not exactly getting my second line either. And I would guess that that's the same case for most people. Now, put that on hold for a second. The added layer of literally laying people off right before Thanksgiving. I've long said that, you know, sports owners, they think in terms of business, not necessarily how fans think. I'm not the only one who said that. I'm not trying to take credit for that line of thinking. Many people have said it. But I've always said things like this. Look, I'm a big fan of Eagles owner Jeffrey Lurie. And obviously, Jeff Lurie and the Philadelphia Eagles have seen brighter days than the ones they are currently seeing. The Eagles lost again last night to the Seattle Seahawks. They drop to 3-7-1 on the season. Everything's going poorly. Quarterback's not playing well. Entire team's not playing well. There are reports that Jeff Lurie, for the first time since owning the team, didn't even attend a game in Cleveland last week because of how disgusted he is. There's reports that now apparently he has say over who the starting quarterback is and is not. That perhaps he's disgusted with Carson Wentz and he wants to see Jalen Hurts, and that he is not happy with how this team's going. He's not sitting with Howie Roseman up on the owner's suite level. So there's a lot of turmoil going on. But in general, I've always found Jeff Lurie to be a pretty with-it guy. And when I say with-it, I mean in touch. Doesn't make excuses for his business shortcomings. And he's worth just in that same range, about John Middleton, somewhere in that $3 to $4 billion range, as are most guys who own professional sports teams, if not more. But I've always said that if you lined up all the billionaires who own sports teams in a room, Jeff Lurie would be one of the most, if not the most, with it, in touch, genuine people who has that kind of money. Because when you have that kind of money, it can understandably change you. Another guy who I've always felt that way is a guy like Mark Cuban, famous owner of the Dallas Mavericks. He's loud, he's outspoken, he doesn't always say things that people like, but he seems in touch with the people, at least on the scale of how billionaires think. And he doesn't try and spew BS that no one's buying. When the coronavirus pandemic first hit, he stood or sat at the podium rather that night and said, I will make sure all of my employees are taken care of, because he knows that he has the money to do it. He knows that he can physically afford to do it. He can make it work. And it's up to him to help out the little guy and not be a miser and try and cut corners every little which way. And that it's not really going to affect him, because that's how much money he has. And good for him. He's, you know, made it to the top through the American dream, whatever you want to call it. I'm not here to take shots at how people earn their money. But then take a guy like Josh Harris, another fan favorite owner in the city of Philadelphia, who, into the pandemic, and I mentioned this yesterday on my two-part episode with Jason Cantor, he tried to cut employees' salaries by 25%, and then there was so much public outrage, many of which was on Twitter, saying, how could you do this kind of thing? You're worth, I think he's worth close to $5 billion. He owns both the Sixers and the New Jersey Devils. He was going to cut employee salaries on both sides. And people are like, this is ridiculous. You're trying to say that you're somehow negatively affected by the pandemic to the point that you can't even pay your employees through it. Oh, and then by the way, within a month later, he attempted to buy the New York Mets. Now, of course, he didn't end up closing that deal. That went to Steve Cohen, who's got a few dollars himself. But the point is this. John Middleton is falling, in my opinion, and this move to lay off people right before Thanksgiving proves to me that he falls right in the line of being just another out-of-touch billionaire who is more concerned about the bottom line than he is at winning. Those comments and all of the things he said after he and his wife flew out to Las Vegas. And I, by the way, also want to say, I don't know that he isn't a nice person. I don't know him personally. He might be a great guy. But in terms of business and what I'm seeing right now, what it's being made public, is the guy seems like a fraud. He seems like a guy who was all talk when it came to getting someone like Bryce Harper. He saw dollar signs. He saw a guy who's going to put butts in the seats in a non-COVID year, of course, who's going to sell jerseys, who's going to be a face of the team, who's going to reignite some interest in the Philadelphia Phillies. That wasn't a move to help this team win. If he actually wanted to help this team win, he would go approve some other moves that would actually help this team win. He would go out and hire a different president of baseball operations or a general manager. The Phillies would be active right now in this offseason that has already begun. And I'll get to some free agents that have already signed that it seems like the Phillies had virtually no real interest in. They had a little publicity stunt there where they pretended to be interested in a guy like Theo Epstein. Theo Epstein turned it down. I don't think that was ever truly serious. And this guy who is just concerned about his bottom line, the only move the Phillies have made this offseason is cutting their employees so that they can get back to being more profitable. McVail is allowed to stay for another year, kind of just sitting on his hands. And this Philadelphia Phillies team will continue to sit idle, not actively get better, so they will be getting worse, as long as the front office continues to think this way. More of the Locked On Phillies podcast coming right up, but first, a word from our sponsors. Back to this report that came out about John Middleton last week that initially suggested that he had lost up to $2 billion. That was later refuted and, quite frankly, never really made any sense because, as I mentioned, that would be more than 50% of his entire net worth. This report is suggesting that times are so tough for John Middleton that they quite literally might not be able to afford bringing back JT Realmuto, that they can't afford to bring back someone like Didi Gregorius, who I was starting to get the sense that, based upon some of my conversations and some of the things I've been reading, is likely not going to happen anyway. I'm also starting to get the sense, as as I mentioned, the hot stove already underway here, that they might not really be in on any of these free agents. They might just roll into 2021 basically with the current roster they have, maybe some minor tweaks, but no one who's going to really get you excited about Phillies baseball in 2021. Charlie Morton signed with the Braves would have looked nice in the Phillies rotation. Guy like Mike Minor, he signed with the Royals, would have looked nice in a Phillies uniform. How about Trevor May? He signed with the Mets earlier today. He's the guy that Jack Fritz and I were talking about. Maybe the Phillies should look to sign him. I mean, they're not even in on any of these guys. Drew Smyly and Robbie Ray have also already signed contracts with the Braves and Royals, respectively, both starting pitchers. If I've complained about it once, I've complained about it 1,000 times. Vince Velasquez cannot be a starting pitcher in this rotation for 2021, and in the same breath you say, well, we're trying to win this year. We care about winning. We're trying to maximize the potential of winning while we have the primes of Bryce Harper and Aaron Nola and Alec Bohm and Rhys Hoskins. You can't possibly say that. You can't possibly say that based upon the season that Scott Kingery just had, that you're willing to roll him out for 162 games. Which, by the way, with the current roster, you might be doing, because you'd be looking at moving Gene Segura back to shortstop. Which means, who's your everyday second baseman? All signs point to Scott Kingery. And even in center field, where there's a bit of a toss-up, I've hit on that just a little bit. Could it be Adam Haseley? Could it be Roman Quinn? Would they really go back to Odubel Herrera? I don't think so, but maybe. Or maybe they just scrap all of them, and that means more playing time for Scott Kingery. It's infuriating beyond belief. And again, this was another thing I hit on with Jason Cantor yesterday. When you have a bad player, like I believe the Eagles do right now, when you have a bad quarterback, and they have a lot of bad players, but let's start with the most important guy. When you have a bad quarterback, you can bench him and see what you have in Jalen Hurts. When you have a bad coach, which I don't think Doug Peterson has been good at coaching this year, you can fire him. Move on. If you have a bad general manager who has been bad at drafting and talent evaluation recently, you can look to fire a guy like Howie Roseman. When the physical owner is bad, and believe me, John Middleton isn't the only, I'll say, guy who I'm soured on in the Phillies organization. Remember, Matt Klintak, still very much employed by the Phillies, doesn't have the same general manager title that he did 2 months ago. That now belongs to Ned Rice, at least in the interim, but he was an employee of the Phillies beforehand as well. You could look at a guy such as Andy McVail, who continues to hold his position as the president of baseball operations, and all signs point to him finishing out his contract through 2021. Like, he deserves any of that. And John Middleton, who is now making financial decisions because it is his money, and I understand that that's how baseball works. It's the owner's money that ultimately funds the team in a way that other sports don't work, that maybe have a salary cap or something like that. John Middleton is now saying, or that there are reports suggesting, I shouldn't say that I know, that they physically might not be able to afford anyone in 2021. Basically, what I'm setting you up for is I'm totally underselling and perhaps preparing you for lots of disappointment entering this Phillies offseason, because there might not be much of anything to get excited about. November came and went. We could just fly through December. Nothing will happen. January in 2021 will roll around the corner. JT Realmuto will sign with someone like the Mets. And by the way, there were also reports recently suggesting that maybe the Mets wouldn't want to go all in on someone like JT Realmuto and would look for perhaps a shorter-term deal on a guy like James McCann, someone who I've advocated for if you didn't want to go all in on Realmuto and you wanted to save some of that money elsewhere. Will the Phillies even be in on James McCann? Will they even be in on anyone to be the new catcher of this team? Are we just going to wait for the bottom of the barrel and just expand Andrew Knapp's playing time in 2021. He had a good 2020, but he wasn't the starting everyday catcher. We don't know what he is in terms of a long-term deal. I would love to know what someone like Bryce Harper right now thinks, who I would like to think, as I mentioned yesterday, he still cares about winning and has always cared about winning. Was he sold a bag of goods in those meetings in Las Vegas? Did he think this owner would do more to help this team? You remember all the quotes, stupid money. The Phillies are going to spend stupid money this offseason and do whatever it takes to win, to get John Middleton his effing trophy. Has he? Because he's made about one move that suggests he cares that much about winning and has really done nothing since. Newsflash for you, that was February 28th, 2019. Coming up on 2 years. It will be 2 years before the start of the 2021 season. Bryce Harper has been here for 2 years. And the team hasn't gotten any better since the day he signed here. Obviously, the team was made better by that signing, but they have not done a single thing to improve. And it shows up in their record. Finished 500, 81-81 in 2019. Finished two games below 500 in 2020. There have been some bright spots. Rhys Hoskins has obviously had hot streaks, also had some cold streaks. Alec Bohm came up, was great this year. But I am not excited at all, and I'm even less excited now about this offseason to come for the Philadelphia Phillies as they prepare to sit idle, and they're already planting the seeds for it. That'll do it for this edition of the Locked On Phillies podcast. Stay tuned for more podcasts every day this week. Have a great Tuesday, everyone. I'll talk to you tomorrow.